Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinema Gems After Dark, which is Drink and Think. Yeah. All right, which means we have some money in the till, so we bought a six-pack. Let's break this down and do Drink and Think with one of my very friends from Swapper Jacks. It is Sebastian. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, it's going wonderful. Wonderful.
Good to see you, Admiral. And I forgot to say, I am the Admirable Admiral. I don't know if... You had to know
Admiral,
that.
Admiral, well, of course.
You had to know that before coming in the video store.
This is true. This is true. I had an inkling.
Okay. So, Sebastian, why don't you tell us a little about yourself? Not too much into details, because it is the internet.
Oh, yes. A little bit about myself. I have been floating around here and there, and somehow I washed up here with you. I'm still wondering how and why.
Yeah.
Soon to be shipping out soon again, and on to other pastures. I have had a weird fascination with, conspiracy theories as of late, and I thought that we could, throw those around for a while.
Yes, so, Sebastian did text me on... It was a couple days ago. He's like, "Oh, I have a thing, conspiracy theories, and I've wanted to do this for the longest time, but I haven't had anybody that's like, really? Like, you believe in conspiracy theories? Okay. So Sebastian, I have a few. You have a lot more than me.
Well, I've been at this for a little while. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I still have other things to occupy my time.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, so, right. I have no useful employment in life, so I spend it primarily on YouTube.
All right. So I guess we'll go you then me. You want to do that?
All right. Perfect. That
we'll
works.
Do about that works. Two or three. I have like two, and okay. Maybe a third one. So
oh, okay. All right.
And if you have any that you just want to like. If I'm not, you know how intrigued?
Yeah.
If I'm not,
yeah.
Like, when you start, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And go ahead, just flow right into it.
Okay.
Floodgate.
All right.
So
I'm going to begin with my newest discovery.
Oh, wait, and before we go on, we should say that we're not talking about the JFK conspiracy.
Oh, no, nothing as mundane as that. That's old hat.
Or, like, you know, anything that's... Like, the election was rigged.
Yeah, exactly. That's,
you know,
that's
different things like that. And yeah. All that. The moon landing's fake.
Yeah.
We're not going to be discussing anything like that. We're discussing minor ones that people are like, is this real?
Yes, and I'm more interested in the whole world consuming conspiracy theories.
We could break this down right here. We could...
Yes.
This could be the one that sets the new revolution. This podcast.
All right. Okay, so my first conspiracy theorist, David Wynn Miller. David Wynn Miller believes that he discovered quantum syntax parse grammar in the 80s, which has negated all contracts worldwide. And he, through his amazing... ability to synthesize things, being that he has no kidneys and had not slept for 8 years straight and devoted himself purely to study while his blood had no way of filtering itself, somehow managed to make his brain, through the stress of not having a filtration system of your kidneys, somehow... like, form additional connections in neurological wirings, right? Which allowed him to understand the mathematical interface to language. And what this does is it allows one to speak in a way which is mathematically precise, he claims, by...
Do you have an excerpt of that?
I don't exactly have an excerpt. Let me just drift
that,
over here.
Whoa,
to
this is, like,
his
very...
website.
It's very, like... Wow, and I love how
yes.
Tesla is just ping-ponging between the two of us.
Yeah, right?
Well, a lot of people know that my dog, Tesla, is a Cheweenie. You know, he's my dog. He likes to be inside whenever we record. Like, whenever
yes.
I record a podcast, he has to be here. So he ping-pongs. He'll be like, oh, you're not petting me?
I'm yeah, gonna make sure that everything
right.
is straight. All right, so...
An excerpt.
Let me first say that the first fundamental thing which one needs to do if communicating in... the correct quantum parse syntax grammar is to phrase your name correctly, which is, in David Wynn Miller's case, David-Wynn: Miller, which makes one a true person and not the fiction of a person, like the legal fiction of a person, which is a straw man, which is a way by which the government tricks you into doing things like paying taxes, which you don't really need to do, but it's all a fictive world of law in which they're engaged in, mind you. So if you hyphenate your name correctly, that then tells the court that you are indeed an actual person, and they have to treat you as such. So, this is...
Right? Yes, does it get better?
Yeah, oh, it gets better, yes. So, this is an example of David-Wynn Miller's quantum language. This is the opening manifesto on his website. Correct syntax structure communication parse syntax grammar performance equals C period dash S period dash S period dash C period tilde number one. For this federal dash judge colon David dash Wynn colon Miller's knowledge of the correct sentence dash structures dash communication dash parse dash syntax dash grammar performance equals CSSCPCGPR with the claims of written communication facts with the document contract duty federal judge authority colon title tilde 42 DSC 1986 with the knowledge of the fraudulent parse syntax grammar modification and colon contracting dash authority of the stopping and colon correcting of the false and misleading statements fictional language with the autograph confession of the personal wrong violation with the quantum grammar operational certification front forward and symbol backwards
ampersand.
With the ampersand colon backwards with the certification of the knowledge and violation of the conspiracy with the grammar fraud fraud court actors lying together. Now I have no idea what that means, but I do know what the last part what he's talking about. And he believes...
Is what, it's because you're a coding expert?
No, because I've listened to, like, hours of him on YouTube, because there's something wrong with me.
Okay. Okay. I don't think so.
Right. Okay, so what he's talking about with the fraud and violation, he believes that every law which is written in common speech is a known fraud perpetrated by the world... courts, right? As a way to trick you into believing that you're contractually obligated to do certain things or that you're under certain statutory laws or any sort of agreement which is written in law, which is written in common speech, is a purposeful, knowing fraud by the said authorities, which... know that what they're writing is actually incorrect. And this has to do with his theory of, like, of the English language, which he believes is weirdly universal. And this is the parse part. He believes that he's established certain rules for decoding English, which are true all the time, such that if you have two vowels together at the beginning of a word, that word means no contract. If you have a vowel and two consonants following one another, that means no contract. If you have, I forget all of his other rules, but he's got like a plethora of rules by which you can actually decode a word which you think you know the meaning of, like authority, for example, right? It starts with AU, so it means no contract. And so, the way in which contracts are written in the legalese of the, you know, professional legal world,
right,
is actually pure fraud because they know that the words which you will read are not the actual words which are binding legally. And so they're writing these things in a way such that they're tricking you purposefully. And so he's decoded this, and he's figured out that every contract... on the planet, pretty much, is a purposeful fiction which is foisted upon you. And that if you really just understand how to parse English, then you'll understand that it is indeed a fiction and that you're not contractually bound. And then, if you understand his new language, his new syntax, the quantum syntax, you can write contracts in a way which are indeed truthful and legally binding. And so, if you're ever brought to court, or if you're ever in any way in any like legal quandary, all you have to do is prove that you understand the fact that these fictions were indeed a fiction to begin with, right?
Wow.
And thereby, you can like flip the scripts and charge the courts and or the party which the prosecutory, you know, the apparatus with purposeful fraud. And so in this you can evade all legal action.
Wow.
And in with this, he claims to have what he calls syntaxing things, right? So he'll read a document, and he'll read a document, and he'll syntax it, which is the way by which he like dissects all of the legalese into what he considers true language, right? And so he claims to have caused the housing crisis of 2008. He claims to have brought about Hawaii's sovereignty, such that it's not actually a part of the U.S. And he was also, by the way, he was then elected the king of Hawaii. So he is the king of Hawaii right now.
Wow.
How
do you get elected to the king of Hawaii?
It's an interesting question, but it has to do with the tribal elders of Hawaii, which he was like, I'm talking to or something, and they held an, I don't exactly know, but yeah. He claims to have personally tutored all of the Supreme Court justices in his quantum syntax grammar.
Wow.
He claims that he was personal friends with Bill and Hillary Clinton, and that Clinton's defense about the word is during the Monica Lewinsky scandal was a product of Clinton trying to alert the public to the fraud which was happening within language.
Wow.
But apparently just went over all of our heads and, you know, we thought he was just claiming that he didn't have sex with Monica Lewinsky. Yeah. I mean, silly us, you know.
I have one. It's not as dense as yours is. I was just like, this is it. And you're going to be like, that's okay.
Okay.
All right. So are you familiar with the Beatles?
Yes.
Have you heard of the Paul is dead theory?
No, I have not. Enlighten.
So, Paul McCartney.
Yes.
Which is, one of the four Beatles.
Okay.
Which I just realized last week. That is a pun. Beatles is a pun.
I don't get it.
It's because it's usually, Beatles is usually spelled B-E. Like a beetle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's like a beat of a drum.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
I didn't know that either.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Interesting. Yeah.
So Paul McCartney apparently in one of when they were about to release a big album, he got a car accident and he died. So they held auditions for a new Paul McCartney, which subsequently was Paul from then on. So that's why in all of the, I think it's after the Lonely Heart Sergeant Pepper.
Yeah,
cover,
yeah.
After that,
yes,
is when it happened, and he's subtle differences of everybody. Like if you go on, let's say you look at the Abbey Road cover, yes. The last one they did. He's the only one barefoot and out of sync with the other Beatles.
Huh.
And if you play a couple of their records backwards, it goes, I miss you, Paul. Not with the accent, though.
Okay, all right.
But like,
yeah.
Or it'll be like, or Paul is dead. I miss him.
Hmm.
Like, that's really kind of a stretch for me, personally.
Yes.
But it's weird because it seems kind of normal now.
Whether like Paul is dead?
Yeah, like I'm like, yeah, sure, yeah, that's true.
Oh, okay,
like,
yeah.
Like it's come so, you know,
yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Really? But, yeah, so that's one that I have. So do you have another one? Oh, besides sure. Paul is dead. I know doesn't rank as high as yours does.
No, I mean, okay. I mean, have you... I'll throw in just, like, a small one here for a minute. So, there's a really interesting... what do I want to say? Individual, let's call it. Named David Icke. I'm sure you've heard of David
Icke. Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
So what conspiracy are you going to pick? That's the main point.
Okay, well, I mean, David Icke is really known for one thing. David Icke, like, believes a lot of crazy things. But I'm just going to throw out, like, the thing which really distinguishes David Icke from everyone else.
From every other conspiracy
theorist? Yes, exactly, yeah. Which is that David Icke believes that there are how can I say this? That there is indeed a connection with the fourth dimension to the three-dimensional world, and in this fourth-dimensional world live a race of lizard people?
Reptilians?
Reptilians.
They prefer the term reptilians.
Yes, yes, exactly.
We need to specify exactly, for yes. our overlords.
Okay, yes, exactly. Reptilians. Let's not offend the overlords, yes. And so this fourth-dimensional... species would like to somehow influence and gain, you know, control and power over this three-dimensional fiction in which we live. And the way by which they manage this is by influencing our genetic lines and of the powerful, right? And they do this from their lair inside the Hollow Earth, by the way.
Yep.
Yes, so there's Hollow Earth, in case you all were wondering. No lava down there, just reptiles. from the fourth dimension.
How can they survive the heat, but no one will ever know?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they've got, like, cooling units. You don't know. I mean...
We do live in Louisiana.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Anyways, and so these fourth-dimensional reptilian-like creatures have been working very hard to, include their genetic strains within the humanoid population as a means by which of guiding our policy. And so most of the major players within the world today are indeed intermixed with the fourth dimension, such that they're not pure fourth dimensional creatures.
Can I name a few? I know.
Oh, yes, please.
I know a few.
Go for it.
Queen Elizabeth II.
Yes.
Then you have Hillary Clinton.
Of course.
Which makes, I guess, Bill one as well. No, it doesn't.
I don't know.
No, I don't think. He just married.
He just married a reptilian. Yeah, okay.
Barack Obama.
Oh, of course. Yeah, Obama.
And actually, I heard of Nikola Tesla, the person that's the inventor that's named after my dog.
Tesla.
He was one.
Are you a reptile, Tesla?
Like, I was like, please don't tell. Please don't tell. And, that's all the ones I'm sure of.
Mm. Those are the main ones that I know of. And I'm sure there's...
You know about Nikolai? Because most people don't. That's...
I know the basis of the Tesla conspiracy. Yes, that is one which I haven't quite looked into, but I will pivot off of that into David Wilcock, which I don't know if you know about.
Oh, wait. Before we go to David Wilcock, let's finish up the reptilian...
Oh, that was basically, like, pretty much all I wanted to say about that.
All right.
Aside from that, David Icke is pretty standard conspiracy, you know, Bilderberg group.
Yeah.
You know, all of the major Illuminati players and such, and secret government kind of thing.
New World Order.
Yeah, New World Order, right? Like, he's pretty, like, down the line, like, uninteresting. Yeah. His really only, like, shining variance is with the reptiles, right? Yeah. Aside from that... You know, any good, like, nut job will align with most of what David Icke has to say.
Let's just say he looks like a reptilian anyway, because his mom fucked a reptilian person.
Yeah, exactly.
He just looks really messed up.
That's true, yeah, exactly.
And he's probably writing down right now. He's sending an email to cinemajims15@gmail. Hey, you suck. You're gonna be like, David Icke.
You're the reptile.
Exactly. All right, so David Wilcox.
David Wilcock believes that there's all this hidden technology which is being squirreled away by the U.S. government Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like the face?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Being squirreled away by the U.S. government. And, well, many governments worldwide, I should say, right? Because there's the transnational conspiracy, of course, between the ooh, what does he call them? He doesn't use the word Illuminati. What is the word that he uses? I'll think of it shortly.
New World Order?
No, it isn't the
Skull
New
and
World...
Bone?
No. He calls it something kind of vague. He calls it the, damn it, I forget. Anyways, but this like, transcends the world, right? Because there's many, types of aliens, which are also out there, which we know about, which are sort of influencing things, which are gifting us technology, which is then being, hidden by the various powers that be, so that we're addicted to things like coal-burning technology and other technologies which are enslaving us to various powers, making life dependent upon, you know, the powers that be and so forth. They are all part of this giant chess board which is being played.
Which side are we on?
So humans are more the chess pieces, because there's the Alliance, which is an alliance of many different alien races out there in the galactic universe surrounding us, which our government has access to, kind of, but is 37 levels above the presidency. So the presidency is actually at a classification level much less than the aspects of the government which deal with these extraplanetary creatures, right? You've got the sphere beings, which are these sort of mysterious beings which showed up about 50 years ago in the universe, which are big players, and they are extra-dimensional, and they're broadcasting certain messages around. We're not exactly sure what. They're affecting the Alliance, which are the pro-human, pro-peace and love side of things. There's also the what does he call it? Like the Archons or something pretty generic, right? Which are like the actually, interestingly, also reptilian-like race of ETs, which are against the peace and love hypothesis in the universe, right? And so there's all this contention going on. But a huge amount of what David Wilcock argues in his books, The Synchronicity Key and I forget his other book, is about all of this technology, quote-unquote, which has been hidden from us and purposely downplayed. And this was prior to him deciding that there was aliens like governing the world, right? You can see his evolution. You can watch David Wilcock's evolution from nut job to, like, crazy nut job. And prior to becoming crazy nut job, he just believed that there was a conspiracy by which very useful technology like pyramid power and these various other crackpot theories. Of technology and power and all of this were completely true and were proved weirdly always in Russia for some reason. It's always Russian scientists which know about this. And somehow the U.S. either doesn't know about it or is purposely hiding it.
Yep, they're like, nope, we don't know anything about that.
Exactly, yeah. So, this dovetails into the idea of, like, how the government is supposed to be tamping down this technological revolution, which is all around us, but somehow nobody knows about, except for people of a certain classification within the U.S. government, which are both threatening and killing all the Nikolai Teslas of the world, which try to bring to humanity the...
I like how he's intently listening to you. He's like, what am I doing?
What, me? Yes. Which try to bring to humanity saving technology for free energy and all of the goods of the world, you know, so that we can be enslaved to our corporate masters.
Let's go ahead. So this part right here is one I have that I don't know if a lot of people know about it, because it's a YouTube channel that I watch specifically called All Time Conspiracies. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
No, I have not.
They intensely, like, pick one thing and talk about it, and then disprove it in the same video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I have one is, what happens if the 1800s
mm-hmm.
were actually in, like, the 1200s. Like, because the Roman calendar was written, you know, for the calendar we use right now.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Was written by the Pope at the time.
Yes.
I forget his name. But he...
The Gregorian calendar, I'm guessing?
Yes, the Gregorian. How it gave it away!
Gregory the Great?
So yeah, basically that he came up with, he did that, and instead of going, oh shit, we need to make this time, you know, we need to make it this long, they decided, fuck it. So they made it like, it was really in the 1200s, but now it was in the 1800s. That's what it seemed like to be.
Mm.
That they would be like, oh hey, I found this. It's very strange because they talk about like how it affects the economy and also the way crops are grown and all that.
Yeah.
And it also implies that they also cite that, oh, the Mayan conspiracy can happen because if you follow our way, it'll work by because you can't count. Like, you know how they have a leap year?
Yes.
So it would count the extra days from the leap year. And also daylight savings. For some reason, daylight savings in particular. To make this conspiracy true. That we were actually living in the 1800s. Not 2017.
Hmm. So is this similar to a theory, which is one that David Wilcock talks about in one of his books, which is... talked about by a Russian chess player, and I forget his name. He's not one of the names which you've heard a lot about, but he has a theory of history, which is that there's this telescoping of time such that all of human history is actually in a very, very compressed form, and we believe that it's been, say, 2,000 years since Christ. But this is just because of this fictive way in which historians have reconstructed the past. And it was really only maybe a 500-year period. Mm. And through false documentation and through misunderstanding of how to interpret events and so forth and so on, that we've added like thousands of years into a past which was really, really a very condensed thing. And only with the modern rise of, you know, proper timekeeping, you know... pieces and so forth and so on, have we really had a true sense of history. Right. And there wasn't this vast sweep of nothing, you know, happening in the Middle Ages as far as, you know, human progression or whatnot. You know, it was really quite a short period.
Yeah. Which is, it does, I have read that one too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That it's, I have heard of David Wilcox here and there, but not as efficiently as David Icke. But, yes, I have. I think they cite that or this subsequently and hence that theory. It's very strange. But yes, that is literally the strangest thing. Like, falsified documents, what does that mean? That you would have to, the Titanic didn't sink? Or let's say that the Revolutionary War didn't happen at that one time?
This I'm not exactly sure about, to be perfectly honest. I've not researched this thoroughly. But I do know that there is several conspiracy theorists which question the layout of the historical timeline and how we assign dates to things and whether those are indeed truthful like periods of time.
Yeah.
So, huh. Interesting. Interesting.
So that was really mine, and you piggyback off that one, so you just have a full one now.
Oh, okay. All right. So the next conspiracy theorist I'll go with is Santos Bonacci. Ooh. Santos Bonacci started out as what do I want to call him? He was an astrologer to a large degree, and believed...
So the actual star is not... No, the signs in the stars, not the actual stars.
Well, he believed that all of human life, yeah, could be reduced to this, exactly, to the signs within the stars and how all of life was influenced by these and all of human actions and all of human history and pretty much anything in life which could be talked about meaningfully could be reduced to an astrological world in which, like, these were the governing actions, right? The governing things. And it's interesting because you watch Santos Bonacci piggyback for a little while off of other conspiracy theorists, like Cate of Gaia, which we might touch on later, sort of ricocheted off of David Wilcock, had some time with various other astrologers, which I picked up on, ended up sort of doing his own thing for a while, recently found the Flat Earth conspiracy, and has really taken that up as his own cause. So he's an interesting mix of astrologer, which governs primarily his worldview, synchronicity is what he calls it, or syncretism, which he believes is a way by which all religion can be understood within this framework of astrology and astrological meaning. He also is a vegan who believes that if you eat meat, that it pollutes the mind, and one cannot think straight if one eats flesh, because you have dead carcasses within your body, which then emit certain things which prevent one from understanding the truth. So you and I have no access to the truth because we are carnivores. That only once you purify yourself.
Which most people will say that you, Sebastian, are a vegan.
Yes, weirdly. If you have long hair and various hippie-like tendencies, even if you...
The beard.
Generally disheveled-looking. Yeah. there's an assumption that you eschew all meat. Even if you find hippies intolerable and try to avoid them at all costs. Which I could talk about, like, a lot of things. I believe that Reiki is a vast conspiracy theory for... the Japanese man to make a lot of money, personally.
Wait, but what? No.
Reiki, you've not heard of Reiki?
No.
Okay, let me interrupt my Santos Bonacci spiel to talk about Reiki. So, you and I both know of at least one person, which is a Reiki practitioner, which is a Japanese energy manipulation technique pioneered by a Japanese man in the 70s, I believe, whose name I forget, but it primarily consists of moving one's hands without physical contact over another person and being sensitive to their energy fields, which might have some connection with auras, but not really, because it's kind of a different school. It's all this vague hippie energy, right, with which you can restructure, you know, the flow of energy. Now, it's not chakras, mind you, because that's of a different school. That's of the Indian school, right? And the Ayurvedic school, which believes in the chakras and all that. So I don't think you could say that it was manipulating your chakras. And I feel like you could catch hippies out by confusing the two, which are actually different schools. Now, this is the practitioners merely have to be certified by somebody else who is a Reiki practitioner. So find your nearest Reiki practitioner, which was taught by somebody somewhere, which you don't have any idea of who, except for their own.
It's very strange.
Exactly, right?
And I didn't know this happened.
They can teach you Reiki, and then you're a qualified Reiki practitioner, which can then charge money to do energy work on other people, which primarily consists of them sitting in a chair and you moving your hands a few inches above their skin in various places and feeling the energy. And if you feel bad energy, you have to do certain things. And I'm not exactly sure of the specifics, but it's
it's really
this is, I don't want to say a world-consuming conspiracy, of course, but it is a whole lot of nonsense, which is the equal of David Icke. But people are getting paid quite a lot of money to fix your energy field.
Exactly. So usually when I record, I turn the air up, but in the video store, so I have to close the vent. in the room.
In the biodome?
Yes. In the room that we record in.
Yes.
Have you heard of this other theory? It is, a lot of people know about this one, that some, oddly, mine has a few to do with the Beatles. I'm a fan.
Okay. All right. Fair enough, as am I.
This guy showed up from another dimension, and he's from our dimension.
Okay.
And he was at a... I like how Tesla's now on top of the bed trying to come at you.
Well, it's so he can be at eye level.
Yeah.
He understands. He's understands.
Like, hey.
Yeah.
I'm here. he's trying to... He's like, you know the lizard conspiracy.
He's trying to manipulate my energy field. I can see it.
Exactly. this gentleman was picked up, I believe, at Grand Central Station. He was given a letter or something exactly. The guy got a letter, and it said, follow me. So he followed the guy into an undisclosed location.
Okay.
All of a sudden, guy ends up in... a alternate universe, Grand Central Station.
I hate when that happens.
Right?
You're right.
So basically, I believe, and also in this universe, Kennedy wasn't assassinated. So, and then after Kennedy was his brother, and then it was Nixon. Jimmy Carter didn't get the presidency for some reason.
Okay. But
from then on, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very strange. And I think George Bush, the father, mm-hmm. got two terms instead of one.
HW, okay.
Yeah.
Which cut into Clinton's term, or?
Technically now in this conspiracy universe still living in a third Obama term for some reason.
Huh.
Don't
Interesting.
Know.
Okay.
Very strange.
Okay.
But, whatever. so this guy, well, no, it came out in like the middle of Obama, so they were like, this is his first, it's whatever, it's super strange.
Okay, so, yes.
But, whatever. So then they have, he says, oh, you have to wait here for a second. So he's like, well, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to listen? It gives him a cassette of Beatles that did not break up in 1969, and they stayed together until mid-90s.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, and he has a song of all of them singing brand new songs that he's never heard of.
Okay? Hmm.
But it's all of them singing together, and their voices do sound aged like they would in Paul McCartney and the Wings, or Ringo by himself, or John Lennon, or George Harrison, when they went their separate ways. That was very strange. Well, when they went to separate ways, some of the voices you can hear are as they aged in those albums together on one.
Huh.
Yes.
Interesting.
And the best part is that immediately fell asleep, woke up, bam, back in our universe.
So, my problem with that conspiracy is that even if the Beatles had stayed together, there's definitely an early period in which bands are fruitful and create new material. At a certain point, they all suffer from this sclerosism, such that the only thing which they play are the hits which they played before. And after that, crowds don't want new material, they want the old material. Right. And they want it, like, ad infinitum, right? So, I feel as though the Beatles were sort of at the maximum of their creativity, and they would be purely subject to replaying the old hits from then on out. So, I don't believe in that one.
Yeah. It's really strange.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm like... but, he has evidence that he has a tape,
mm-hmm.
and it has the albums. But... it's all written out, all the words, everything that's said on the tape itself.
Okay.
But when trying to contact this gentleman, he no longer exists anymore. It's like he disappeared.
Hmm.
Gone. Like a fart in the wind.
Huh. Interesting.
I know you probably haven't seen Shawshank Redemption, but that was a Shawshank Redemption reference.
No, I have not. So that's
it's cool. I figure.
Yeah, yeah. Good call. Good call. Yeah. Not so much one for the movies.
And it's really like, if he knew everything, why did he leave? Why didn't he like get other people to go with him?
Oh, well, maybe he was just a selfish dick. Just because you know other dimensions doesn't mean you want to take other people there, too.
I guess you're right.
I mean, yeah. If I had, like, a gate to the better dimensions, I might just, like, peace out, too. I'm just saying.
Exactly. all right. So, that's mine. I think we have time for one more for you and then one more for me.
Okay. So, let me just...
Pick your best one.
Okay. I'm going to talk just for a minute about...
And we can go over a little bit.
All right. Yeah. So I'm gonna talk for a second about the Flat Earth conspiracy theorists, just because they dovetail with a lot of the conspiracies that I've sort of run into. And I mentioned Santo Spinacci briefly. He also, like, took up the mantle of the Flat Earth. I don't know. It's generally just... this almost taboo conspiracy theory, which once you've gone to that level, let me say, then how do you like up yourself in any sense, right?
Once
you
have one that the early, I have okay, one for later.
All right. So the Flat Earth theory seems to be gaining steam as of late. There's a good handful of documentaries, full-length documentaries on YouTube about how the Flat Earth is indeed, you know, the true metric of how one should think about the universe, that globism, as it is called within the Flat Earth community, is nothing more than a way by which to do two things, one of which is to prevent us from finding the bounds of our world, right? Well, you can think about it in two ways, let me say. One of which is that, because the Flat Earth community sort of splits. The Santo Spinacci school...
Wait, so one of them is in the... That one of the worlds is on one side, the other world is on the other side, that they're on the top?
Well, No. So you've got... Well, let me say it like this. The Santo Spinacci school thinks that globism is a way by which to constrain our view of humanity and sort of confine us to a specific sphere. And in this way, create this jail-like mentality for us, right? The other school is that there is bounds to the world and that we're in a giant bubble of sorts, that there's an Earth in which what we conceive of as Antarctica is really the limit to our world. And if we conceive of it as a sphere, then we won't test this boundary, right? Because we believe that it'll just lead us to the other side and we're uninterested in testing the bounds, right? And so it's either that... globism is a way by which to indoctrinate us with this sense of confinement, or it's a way by which we won't discover our confinement. So, depending on how you want to look at it.
I also have seen a couple of these documentaries, I'm sure, where they're flying and they use a ruler to test if the pilot were to, you know, notch up or notch down.
Mm-hmm.
The bubble in the ruler would measure to make sure. And it's like, it's moving. Really? I'm pretty sure you just turned it. Or you're not even in a cabin.
Huh. I have not seen those, actually.
Very strange.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of, like, work with flight mats and trying to determine how this would work if there was indeed, like, a flat Earth and, you know, the ways in which you can... determine that the world is indeed flat based on, you know, flight plans and so forth. And, that I'm not versed enough in to say anything meaningful about.
It's amazing how conspiracy theories in general...
Yes.
...can go to the most minute detail.
Yes.
And you're like, how the fuck did you get there? Like, I can't even... Oh, like, let's say I walk Tesla.
Yes.
And, you know, he's using the restroom. I'm not going to remember the exact color of the grass. The exact shade.
Yes.
As in, oh, that is emerald green, not other green.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I fundamentally believe that conspiracy theories generally are a means by which you can remake the world. And it may be in, like, a sinister way, such that, you know, you're the only one which knows about the secret Illuminati which are governing things and so forth and so on, you know, which gives one a sense of structure, right? That the world isn't really just the, oh God, the craziness that it is and all of the competing whatever. There's this, like, unifying theme that there really is a plan, right? And it might be a sinister plan, but there really is a plan. And it creates a way by which you can really structure the craziness of life, right? And then you've got the other school, which I believe is the more positive, like, aspect to conspiracies, which you see in things like the free man on the land sort of theories and sovereign citizens, whatever you want to call them, right? Which believe that the world is much better. And this is sort of the David Wilcox school too, right? Which is the world is much better than you believe. And that your mortgage is really paid for, that you don't really have to pay taxes, that there's enough resources to go around for everyone and everything, and if the government would just let us have these things, that life could be idealistic, right? And that really there's just some powers that be which are fighting against that, and all we have to do is overcome these powers, and it's right on the edge, right? We're always about to have disclosure, and once disclosure happens, then everyone will know the real world as it exists. And everyone will be great. You won't have to work your shitty job 40 hours a week and pay your mortgage and, I don't know, go to the dentist, because it's all just a conspiracy to, like, fluoride our faces, which is why our teeth are...
Fluoride's in the water.
Exactly. That's why our teeth are all falling out. Really, you don't need it. And germs don't exist. That's also a conspiracy. And, you know, and all of this. And so that's the other, like, optimistic way in which conspiracy theories function. It's a denial of the world as it is to make it better than it is. Right? Or there's a denial... Or the first, like I was saying, it's a denial of the world in its chaoticness to make the world somehow structured. And even if the structure is bad, at least there is a structure, which might be actually more comforting than there being nothing like structure, and it just is a bunch of craziness, you know?
I have one.
Okay.
So you mentioned Antarctica.
Yes.
That sprung into my mind, one, that Antarctica is the lost continent, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It is a hidden civilization.
Mm-hmm.
It is, with ice and all that over it.
Okay.
Like, there is a part, you can go look up the satellites.
Okay.
I believe the satellite photos are still up or not or whatever.
Okay.
That it shows a pyramid.
Okay.
Filled up to the top by snow.
Yes.
That there is a lost, kingdom in Antarctica. And there's also theories that, people who were, in back in the, I don't know exactly when it happened. I believe it was in the 50s or 60s that a ship got stuck breaking through the ice.
Mm.
So they got stuck because the ice, you know.
Wait, this is in Antarctica or
yes.
In the Arctic?
It's in Antarctica.
Okay, all right.
And they say, oh, it's, we need to get somebody to come and break us out. So they call another ship. The ship gets frozen over as well.
Okay.
Finally getting free. And also they prove that the Native Americans come from this ancient country, this ancient kingdom. Because they talked about the snow-covered area, like this white area that was like, it's frozen, it's cold, it's you know, there's nothingness. Which
yes.
It also talks about the flat earth.
Yes.
As well, and also the Turkish maps of Antarctica, if you go look it up.
Yes.
I think it was in the 16 or 1700s that Argentina is connected to the bottom of the map, which in hence is Antarctica.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Really strange.
Yeah.
I don't know why that obscure
yeah
Turk
okay yeah
map
yeah
Now, I will have to say, if you look at modern ideas of the migratory patterns of humans, and if you look at the similarities between, say, Inuit languages and Navajo languages, and the similarities between those, it would make a lot more sense that they were just talking about the Arctic,
yeah.
right? Because that would be the easiest solution to the problem. It's but, like... Yeah, but I will throw another conspiracy theory about
the
Arctic.
Wait, can we kind of put holes in that? It's because that there was a land bridge between Russia and Alaska.
Yes, yeah.
And that was the Arctic.
Yes.
Like you, I know you tried to correct me. The Arctic.
Yes.
Not Antarctica.
Yes, exactly.
It's like,
yeah.
What's going to go on there? I'm sorry. I just wanted to
specify
because I did catch you say that.
Okay, yes, yes, absolutely. But I will throw another Antarctic conspiracy theory to you, which is proposed by Lorraine Monet.
Ooh.
Now, Lorraine Monet is... She claims she was a Berkeley professor, which... No, I'm sorry. She went to Berkeley, UC... No, I'm sorry. She went to UC Berkeley, I believe. She became a nuclear... scientist, worked at various nuclear installations, and then she became what she calls a self-claimed whistleblower, an independent scientist.
Oh, so she's doing this for her own gain, no money intended.
And I believe that that's true because she's generally just crazy and not necessarily a huckster, right?
Right.
And you could generally tell the difference, right? And, she's got this whole stick about the nuclear thing and how it's all conspiracy. Generally, nuclear, both nuclear energy and nuclear weapons and everything are all just conspiracy to somehow poison the world population and make us docile and so forth, right? But an interesting aspect to her craziness is that she believes that various countries... the latest of which is Japan, has installations in Antarctica which broadcast mind control signals across the world. And I forget the name of the most recent, like, Japanese push, which she ties somehow to a Italian word which means speak or something. I forget. It's a very, very convoluted way by which she... determines that a Japanese word is really a reference to an Italian word, which means speak or understand or know or something, which then proves that their installation down there is not one of research, but one of a mind control signal which is being broadcast around the world. And oh, by the way, also she believes that all smartphones have the capability to mind control us, which is why the youth of today act as though they do, because... we're all under the sway of our cell phones, which are which are determining our mob-like behavior given by...
Zombie-like behavior. Yeah, exactly. Zombie apocalypse happened.
Exactly, yeah. And so there's the inherent ability for us to become mobs, violent mobs, at the behest of the powers that be. You know, once they flip the switch, our cell phones will all just tell us that we must riot.
Exactly.
And then it's, you know, it's it's an accomplished fact.
What's including some tests doing exactly. to have, like, the L.A. riots in the 90s?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There were no smartphones back then. How did that happen?
Well, I think that this is just the most recent way by which mind control.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, it doesn't necessarily require smartphones, because the Japanese are doing it also from Antarctica, just broadcasting signals or something. I
like how Tesla's looking at me like, Dad, you don't know this?
Exactly, right?
Like, they use my ears, too. I mean, look at them. They're pretty big.
Mm.
And on that, we'll take a quick break. Last round for you.
All right.
I'm still nursing my second round.
I've been more ambitious than you are.
I'm like...
Hey, I take my alcoholism seriously.
Sorry.
Just saying.
I'm sorry.
All right. So,
and you have two more. I have another one, but it's kind of
two
similar.
More. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
It's too normalized.
We'll see how we go. The next one that I have is something that you might actually have seen on Facebook, because it was kind of a Facebook thing for a while if you were in certain spheres. And this is the Keshe Institute
run by Mehran Keshe, and he is a Iranian, what he calls nuclear engineer, which I somewhat question, who supposedly created a free energy device, which is definitely within the wheelhouse of most cranks. He managed, though, to sell it to a lot of the hippie conspiratorial types on Facebook and, you know, various other avenues. He was selling these units, which were in construction, which were supposed to ship for years at some ridiculous price, like $400 a pop, right? And it was one of these units which you purchased, were supposed to be a unit which you purchased, could sit in your home, you could plug things into it, plug your electronics into it. It would power them without any cost to you. The units finally shipped several years after they were due to ship. The interesting thing about these units was that you actually had to plug them in. So you plugged them in, and then you plugged your things into them, and it was still supposed to be free energy because somehow it was supposed to then multiply the energy, which was, like, kind of unquantifiable because it was plugged into your power socket.
Right.
And then the interesting thing about this whole thing is not that he was a free energy crank, but you could watch the evolution of a free energy, like, scheme, you know, to milk people for way too much money for a unit which did nothing more than act as basically a power strip, to something which was...
I like how Tesla's leaving you because he's like, I believe that.
Right, he's there, right? So you could watch the evolution from that to something which was much less defined, and the transition from a unit which could power things by a plug to a unit which could manipulate the gravitational field around something which could multiply the energy to... not even energy in the sense of the thing which comes out of your socket, but your energy to this cult of the idea of free energy and it being something which transcends anything which is running your computer and running your TV. And it's now the fields which exist within oneself. And you must believe in the abstract energy of yourself. And this is what this device was supposed to be doing all along. Even though you paid $400 to get something to, like, charge your iPhone. Now, it has nothing to do with that. And really, this MagGrav technology, which is the craziness, which is vaguely scientific-sounding nonsense, which... quote-unquote Dr. Keshe spouts, has little to do with anything but this ethereal hippie energy. And there's an easy slide from actual energy into hippie energy, and this is the perfect, like, quantification of that, and it shows the evolution of a cult. And so the most recent episodes of the...
Tesla has to drink as well.
Yes.
Because he's thinking.
Yeah, exactly, right. So the most recent public teachings of the Keshe Institute are very much focused upon how one should cease looking for evidence in the way that the rest of the world is looking for evidence, and that what this is it's purely this materialistic way by which the rest of the world is trying to crush the Keshe's Institute, like, world peace giving mission to, you know, transcend our, like, human failures and so forth, right? And if you actually ask for proof that any of Keshe's nonsense is indeed true or want a quantification of his energy multiplying devices that you paid way too much money for, you are indeed now part of... You're a reactionary. Right? You're a reactionary trying to crush this beautiful thing, which is the modification of one's own fields of energy into this higher type of being. Anyway, and so
that was very, very deep. Like, I like how Tesla was drinking halfway through that.
Right?
And he was like, yeah. Like, you see why I nicknamed him Camel. Because he would sit there and drink for a while.
Yes.
And he stops, he's like, whoa. This is too much for me.
Exactly.
Even though all he's drinking is water. He's like, I gotta stop it. I'm done. Yeah. Now he's like staring back at us like.
He's like, all right, you can continue.
He has his elbows crossed. He's like, let's go. And you have one last theory. Go ahead.
The one last theory is by another interesting individual, which like went straight for the cult, like just to begin with, would spend.
Wait, the occult or a cult?
No, a cult. A cult.
Specific.
Well, yeah, he was definitely he, she. This is where it gets weird. So, the individual of which I'm speaking is named Kate of Gaia, a self-given title, which I'll explain later. But he, she is a transvestite, which likes to use the feminine pronoun, and yet on the radio has a very deep masculine voice. It's all very confusing.
Very confusing.
Yes, and so the name is a way by which Kate enacts his slash her fundamental argument, which is that the name, is the name given to you by your parents, which is on legal documents. And Kate's theory is that all names are owned by the royalty of Britain. And so somehow it's London which controls the entire world legally.
It all goes back to reptilian.
Exactly. Yeah.
David
it
Icke.
All goes back to
David Icke is British.
To, exactly.
Reptilian. Queen Elizabeth II. Mm-hmm. Bam.
QED. All right, we figured it out. We've made the connection.
Exactly. I like how Tesla's looking at us like, you guys didn't know that? Look at him. What?
Well, of course, Dad. God.
Exactly. He's like, you and Sebastian over there. Yeah.
So the way by which this is all understood is because Kate of Gaia knows what he calls Sumerian, and
A difficult language to learn.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. This really, really ties back. Oh, this is like we've come full circle, right?
Which is, Latin is a dead language, This is like Night of the Living Dead.
But this isn't like the Sumerian which you think about when you think about Sumerian, is like the language that the Sumerians spoke.
Yeah.
This is Kate of Gaia's reinterpretation of Sumerian, because he has a whole theory which is that all languages are really Sumerian, so even English is really Sumerian.
So we're speaking Sumerian.
Exactly. Right, we don't realize it because it's a bastardization of Sumerian, but we're really all speaking Sumerian. But he speaks like the original language, right? The Ursprache, right? The
whoa.
Right?
Throw in some whoa. Like, that's a word where I'm like, wait, did I just get slapped by that word?
That's some German for you, exactly. Which means, the primordial language, the Ursprache.
I like how Tuss is like, I'm part German. I know what you're talking about.
He understood right away. And so Sumerian is this primordial language by which all other languages merely bastardize. And so if you learn the original language, you can then understand any other language in its true sense. We go back to language again. It ties back in with David Wynne Miller, right? And Kate of Gaia believes that he's understood the grand conspiracy thrown over humanity, which is in some ways kind of standard. You know, there's kind of like the Illuminati nonsense and all that. Maybe not named such, but it's all the world conspiracy and so forth. His sort of...
You got the Bilderberg group.
I mean, I don't even know if he would go Bilderberg group. I mean, it's sort of like there's the world conspiracy. The unnamed, it doesn't even need a name. The unnamed world conspiracy, right?
Oh, the Freemasons?
Yeah, sure. Let's throw those in there. That's fine. You know, any of those will do.
The Skull and Bones.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, those two. Yeah. Those guys are dicks. And but the way by which you escape this is his innovation, right, is that you have to deny the name because your name is owned by British royalty, is on loan to you, and any time that you use the name, and the name is always your birth given name, right, that you then assent to this world control, which is understood what the world control is through even our language, right? Our language perverts our notions of freedom and liberty because we're speaking in this bastardized version of Sumerian, which is built so that we're deceived and that we become slaves merely by its use. So you have to understand language to escape the thought processes of slavery, and you have to understand the true meanings of words. And I mean, like, he's a hugely into etymology, but his etymologies are the most crackpot things that you've ever heard. Like, they're amazingly bad. And then once you do this, you understand the conspiracy, but to then, like, break away from the conspiracy, the primary thing which is required of you is that you deny the name. And once you deny the name, then you can become truly a unique individual. And never, though, if you use your birth name, because you have sold yourself as a slave to the quote-unquote man, which is the world conspiracy which exists, right?
As... Oh, the other names we mentioned earlier.
Oh, yes, yes. And, I mean, this goes into this whole other theory about how, like, your birth certificate is really a almost like a stock or something. And the numbers on U.S. currency are really birth certificate numbers. And so all currency is basically it's backed by birth certificates, which is is value created upon your proposed productivity. And you actually have, like, probably an account with millions of dollars in it somewhere, owned by the bankers. This is where the bankers are the evil ones.
Controlled, right? by them.
By Rothschild, you know, Rothschild.
Them, the government.
Yeah, Rockefeller's Rothschild, those are the guys, right? And depending on who you ask, it depends on who's, like, on the top, you know, whether it's the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds, or who controls who. You know, there's debate there.
Yeah.
But they own birth certificates, which are really what is traded of value. And if you file certain paperwork, if you do a certain number of legal things, you can actually claim all of this money, which is sitting in a bank account, which is yours because it's only tied to your birth certificate. And it's primarily just because no one knows that they actually own these millions of dollars, which is why they're not claimed. And so things like your mortgage, things like, I don't know, any like debts that you have, they're probably actually already paid by this value which is created surely by being born. And it's merely because you don't realize this. This is why you're, you know, spending your days schlepping, you know, hamburger patties at, you know, McDonald's.
I have another question about that.
Yes.
Is that, well, obviously that about the birth certificate names. What about when we adopt pets? Or so pets don't have bank accounts.
This is true. This is true. They don't have birth certificates, so.
So the image in my head of Tesla being in a little suit walking into a bank is completely...
I mean, that's just fantasy. That's crazy talk. Crazy talk.
A little suit, cufflinks, little hat.
No, no.
He takes it off, puts it under, and he's like, man, this is going to be a rough day.
Don't see it. No birth certificate. Makes no sense at all.
You have anything else?
I believe that's it. I believe that's all I have for today. All the crazy that I could fit into this session.
Sebastian, thank you so much for coming on Drink and Think and talking to us and having a round.
Of course.
So the listeners can, you know, listen to you, because I do speak a few things about you. I'm like, oh, my friend Sebastian. They're like, what? So I'm kind of glad that I got you on here, so people can be like, oh wow,
exist.
So you can realize, so everyone in your audience can realize more crazy than probably you've let on.
Exactly.
That's good. That's good. At least they
I'm
know.
Not that crazy.
They know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They're like, whoa, this guy. Yeah, no, I've heard of the Paul is dead theory, but what?
Exactly, yes.
this has been Drink and Think, a subset for Cinema Gems. You can email me at cinemagems15@gmail.com. Also, hit me up on Twitter, on Instagram, on Hollywood Sci-Fi, and catch us every week. Well, Cinema Gems every week, Drink and Think every once in a while. On LowRainPictures.com. And also Kevin George, thank you for letting us use your music. And Marty and the Arrogant Observer, thank you for letting us use your website, LowRainPictures.com. That's really all I have.
Admiral,
Tesla.
It's been great.
Do you have anything?
Tesla?
No, he's not.
Tesla's just soaking it all in.
Yeah, he's like,
he understands
it. My time to shine. He's coming up, he's like, yeah. Sebastian, anything else?
That's it. I think that's it, Admiral.
No problem. Thanks for coming on. All I gotta say is, wipe your hooves and see you later. Bye.